Okay, let's get started. I want to thank everyone for coming. It's a pleasure to share some learning accomplishment. And as I told some of the guys, I don't usually make parties human when I finish Masechtos, but I felt that it was really serendipitous, which is the fancy way of saying bashert, that the first week and the beginning of the second week now of the Zman. So those who are learning Daf Yomi, which I try to do in my not such free time, are just finishing Maseches Nedarim. And in general, it's always good to share the whole idea of Siyum and inviting other people to the Siyum is that they should be Mechazek, the person who made the Siyum, to continue, and I appreciate your encouragement. But also, seeing someone make a Siyum should also be encouraging and give Chizuk to you. There's no reason that any of you can't be making Siyumim over the course of this year and certainly the rest of your life. So it's certainly doable. And I hope that the very fact that you're participating should be a zchus for me and should be a zchus for you. Before I get to the end of Maseches Nedarim, which ends in a rather politically incorrect kind of a way, not the most pleasant way to end the Masechta, but I did want to spend a few minutes giving a few words of inspiration, if you will, a message which I think is very important to everything we're doing this year, and especially in Chodesh Elul, which comes up a little bit earlier. We did it about a week and a half ago in the Daf Yomi, and that is a very famous Gemara in Nedarim, also on Daf Pe'ah. Guys who are coming in, please feel free to sit down. Not that we're going to be a while, but you still want to sit down. So the Gemara there asks a very famous question. The Gemara asks a difficult question, actually. How come there's a phenomenon which already the Gemara was aware of, that a lot of times you have big rabbis, great rabbis, and their children unfortunately don't seem to in any obvious way take after them. You would think that if somebody growing up in a house, both whether it's nature or nurture, you're growing up in the house of a Talmud Chacham, there'd be a greater chance that the children should be Talmud Chachamim, and yet you look at the statistics, the Gemara says it doesn't seem to be. So the Gemara gives a number of answers. Each one is insightful and painful to consider, each in its own way. However, the one that is the most famous, the one I want to mention, is the Gemara, that the answer where the Gemara says, in the name of Ravina. Ravina says, She'ein mevarchin b'tarat chila. Shocking. You know why this terrible punishment happens to Gemini Chachamim? Because they don't make the Birchas HaTorah. We know every morning we're supposed to make the Birchas HaTorah. Some say it's two brachos, some say it's three brachos, but the brachos are the brachos. That's from the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Aleph. We know that there are these brachos, so the Gemara says they don't make them. So, first of all, the point number one, which is already shocking, is why wouldn't they have made them? That the Gemara doesn't address. But then the Gemara says, well, what does that have to do with the Churban? How would you even know that? So the Gemara quotes a very famous drasha, in fact, from the Psukim and the Nevi'im that deal with the Churban, where the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, Hashem in essence asked, Miha Isha Chacham V'Avin Ezos, who knows what happened? Who knows? The Gemara explains what's going on to the, why is the Churban happening? Why the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash? Here we're obviously talking about the first Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara says, Davar Zed Nisha L'Chachamim L'Nevi'im, and nobody knew an answer to this question until Hashem himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atmo, explained. The Pasuk says, Al Ozvam Es Torasi, they abandoned my Torah, Hainu Lo Shamu B'Koli, they didn't listen to my voice, Hainu Lo Halchaba, they didn't follow the ways of the Torah, Amr B'Yudam Arab, She'ein Mevarchin B'Torah Tchila. Adkan, this part of the Gemara. All these statements, they didn't listen to my voice, they didn't follow my ways, they didn't follow the Torah, it's all a way of saying that they didn't make Birchas HaTorah. Period. That's the end of this segment of the Gemara. So, on the side of the Gemara in Maseches Nedarim is the Ran. And the Ran quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Ran addresses two obvious questions. Again, the first one is, how do you get that from the Pasuk? The Pasuk didn't say they didn't make a Bracha. The Pasuk says, Ozlom es Torasi, they abandoned my Torah. That sounds a lot worse than just not making Birchas HaTorah. Rabbeinu Yonah, the Ran discussed that. We don't have time for that. But then the Ran quotes Rabbeinu Yonah to answer perhaps the more profound and problematic question, which is, what's so bad? Was is geschlecht, as they would say in Yiddish. Right? Okay, they didn't do it. But that's a reason to destroy the Beis Hamikdash because they didn't make these brachos? After all, the implication is that they're learning. Right? The Beis Hamikdash is full. They just didn't make the brachos, and for that they destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. So here the Ran gives a very famous answer in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah. He explains, Vadei Oskin HaYivatorah, they were definitely learning Tamid, right? They were Masmidim, they were in the Beis Medrash the whole time. And that's why the Chachamim and the Nevi'im didn't know the answer. But only Hashem, who is Yodea Me'omke Alev, has secrets, that they weren't making the Brachos. Why? Kolomar, here's the key point, Shlohaisa HaTorah Chashuva Be'eneim Kolkach, Shehei Roy Levarech Aleha. It's one thing to do a mitzvah, but if we truly appreciate it, what does the bracha signify? Not just that I'm doing something because I have to do it, but that I celebrate it, that I love doing it. That's something that's worthy of a blessing. The fact that they learned, but without making a bracha, says Rabbeinu Yonah, implies not just they didn't do something technically, they missed a mitzvah, they didn't do the bracha, but rather it reflects their entire attitude towards Torah, which he then continues in Seshla, Hayoskim Balishma. They had other agendas. It was intellectual. It was part of their resume building. It was a status symbol to go to this yeshiva, that yeshiva. It was purely intellectual. They could use it for their careers later on. But it wasn't out of an ahavas Torah. It wasn't out of sincerity and a sincere love of Hashem and a love of a Torah. If a person has that in attitude, they could still learn Torah, but not make a bracha. And what do you see from this Gemara, says Rabbeinu Yonah, is that even one who learns Torah, but with a mistaken attitude, that is so catastrophic that that could lead to a churban. Just so you should know that this should be connected, not as well known, the exact same idea, virtually, in even shorter words, is mentioned by Rashi in our Masechta. Bab Metzia Daf Pehei is a shorter version of the same Gemara, same punchline, Shelo Barcha B'Torah Tchila, and there, one sentence, by not making a bracha, Goli Datayu, it's clear what their attitude was, She'ena Matana Chashuva Lehen. They didn't view the Torah as something that was a real important thing. It was a course. It was something intellectual, maybe professional, but it wasn't a passionate love, something that they truly valued. This is not just hashkafa. I'll just tell you one halachic point and then a story, and then we'll go to the actual siyum. This is not just hashkafa, although hashkafa is important, but it's not just hashkafa. This may actually be halacha. There's a famous machlokas rishonim, where these brachos that we make every morning, are they mitzvah rabbanon like all other brachos that we make before mitzvos, or are they d'oraisa? Which is the simple understanding of the Gemara and brachos. The Ramban, in his Hasagos to the Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Tez Zayin, is of the opinion, famously, that the brachos we make before learning are Birchas HaTorah, are D'oraisa. But that's not what's important for us. What's important for us, if we get to the nitty-gritty, we see, what's the Ramban's reasons? I'll read you the line. It's an unbelievable line. Says the Ramban, you know why we have to make these brachos? You know why it's a D'oraisa to make Birchas HaTorah? Shenestavine lahodos al hatova hagadola shasalanu. We have to thank Hashem for the great favor, the gift He gave us. Betito torasa olenu, by giving us His Torah. Why is that such a big deal? Why is that such a favor? Because in it, hodianu es hamasim haratzuyim lefonav, because that's how we know what Hashem wants us to do. Shebehem nenachel chayolam haba. The only chance we have at living a moral and elevated life, the only chance we have at living the kind of life that will be rewarded with olam haba, is because Hashem told us what He wants. If someone put you on a sports field and said, here's the ball, good luck, and you didn't know the rules of the game, it wouldn't matter how athletic you were, how talented you were, it would be almost impossible for you to win, right? They put a baseball in front and you'd start kicking it. Or if you're from England, they'd put a baseball, you know, they put a soccer ball in front of you and you would do something else. But if you didn't know the rules, you'd use your hands, you'd pick it with your feet, you wouldn't know. The only chance you have is first you should know the rules, what's allowed, what's not allowed, what's a point, what's a goal, and then may the best man win. If Hashem had plopped us down in the world and said, good luck, after 120, we'll see how you do, but never told us what's a point, what's a demerit, what's good, what's bad, it'd be total luck if we did the right thing. So says the Ramban, we owe Hashem tremendous gratitude. Thank you, Hashem. You gave us the Torah. Because of that, we have a chance. It's still Bechira Chofshis. Chodesh Elul, we still have to do the right thing. We can still make mistakes, but at least we're in the game. By giving us the Torah, we have a chance. And in life, all we can really ask for is a chance. Hashem gave us that chance by giving us the Torah. The rest is up to us. But by giving us that lottery ticket, by giving us the Torah, that's how we have a chance to be Nenachal Chayolam Haba. That Ramban is in essence taking the Rabbeinu Yonah just in a halachic direction. In other words, if we don't appreciate what the Torah is, we don't truly love the Torah, we don't realize the greatest gift, as Rashi says, that we were given. So first of all, it could lead to a Churban, Rachmana Litzlan. And it certainly would not be worthy of being a mitzvah d'oraisa. The fact that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, says the Ramban, is only because it's not a plain, regular mitzvah, a plain, regular bracha, but one which reflects our attitude towards Torah, which is to be appreciative. Okay, we'll stop with that. I hope you take the words to heart, because I think they're very important, and if you have that attitude, it could really, really inform your year, and really help you learn and accomplish great things. And now we'll go to the actual siyum. So, Maseches Nedarim is 91 and a half. daf or so. It's a little bit in the, it ends on Tzadi Aleph and Beis, but it's a very small Amud there on the Beis. And the Gemara in the end is discussing certain behaviors of married women where they're found with men who are not their husband, but there's no absolute proof that they were disloyal. And the question is, without Edim, does the husband have to divorce his wife or not? And the Gemara is telling a number of stories where it seems likely that there was some inappropriate behavior, but because there's some semi-plausible explanation that is somewhat more innocent, that's enough that we don't have to force the couple to get divorced. So in that context, the Gemara ends the Masechta with one final story. There was a certain man who either had a history of or was suspected of adultery, who in fact went into a woman's house, a married woman's house, presumably with the intent, I assume on both of their parts, to misbehave. But unfortunately, or fortunately for the religious perspective, the husband came home. So the man came home, so the bad guy, the Noef, Soik Noef Esiv Mekaleh Baba. He hid behind, Rashi says, he hid behind some curtains or something in the front of the house. He made a very crude hiding place, but at least initially he wasn't found. As it so happens, what was behind these curtains? Something called Machtan, which is, I'm not exactly sure even how to translate that, but it's some kind of food. Some kind of food was there, and he's, you know, sitting there looking at the food, quietly hoping that no one catches him when he's hiding behind the curtains. Unfortunately for him, what happened? Before that, he notices, while he's waiting there, he notices, says the Gemara, Betaminu and Chavai. He notices a poisonous snake eating a little bit of that food. So now this is very dangerous food, but only he knows that the poisonous snake was there. And sure enough, a moment later, Boy Mari Debesei, Lemechel Minhanu Tafli, Below Daite Didsu. All of a sudden, the guy goes behind the curtain, not knowing that his wife's friend is there, but he's thinking he's going to get that food. So now he's caught. But he also sees the guy's about to take the food. And the Gemara says that in fact he told the husband, don't eat the food, a poisonous snake was just there. I assume that he quickly ran out or he got beat up. I'm not exactly sure. The Gemara leaves the rest of the actual story to our imagination. But Lamaisa, after he speaks up from his hiding place to say, don't eat it, you're going to get poisoned, the husband presumably went to Beis Din and said, I come in just by sheer luck. I found this man hiding in my house. Am I chayav to divorce my wife or not? And the Gemara paskins, Amarava into Tusharia. No, the wife can stay, they don't have to get divorced. Why? So the Gemara says a very, I wouldn't say cynical, but realistic to human nature, svara. Im asid to avid isura, if this person really had committed this adulterous affair, if that was really what was going on, nekale, the lechol ulemebus. He would have been happy for the husband to eat the poison food. The husband would have been knocked off, and he would have been able to live happily ever after with this woman who he's having the affair with. After all, the Gemara says, "D'chsiv b'inicheskel kinahu v'dam b'yedehem." The people who commit adultery are also choshed on ritzicha. Sometimes, they have no moral compass. They're willing to do one bad thing, especially if the ritzicha will further their adulterous affair. They'd be willing to kill. So the Gemara says, "Pshit." That human nature, that insight, is so obvious that someone who was having an affair would be happy that the husband of the woman he's having an affair with would be dead. What do you need a pasuk to tell me that? That's just psychology. That's human nature, says the Gemara. So my answer is something which is even deeper into human psychology. Mahu desema isur of it. No, maybe really he did the isur, but behind Amalei, that which he told him, don't eat it because the snake had poisoned it, because he didn't want the husband to die. Why? Because he preferred mayim genuvim yimtaku. That somehow, sometimes, there's a certain thrill in doing something illicit. Right? You know what? When you know that your mom said, I'll use a more innocuous example, when you know your mom said not to eat the cookies, that makes the cookies a little bit more delicious than if the cookies were just out on a plate for everyone to take. So maybe we would have thought that even though the person did the Aveira with the woman, he still wanted the husband to be saved because somehow there was more excitement for him in his affair if the husband was alive and it was illicit. Kamash Malon, no! Not such an uplifting Kamash Malon, but at the end the Gemara says this, and this is on this the Masechta ends, Kamash Malon, that Lamaisa, despite whatever excitement there is in having an illicit affair, he really would prefer the husband to be dead, if he really was having the affair, because it's better to have free reign than him having to sneak around in the dark. And therefore, the fact that he then told the husband that, I don't want you dead, don't eat the food, that is a raya, says the Gemara, that he really never had the affair, whether he wanted to or not, but he never did. And therefore, that's why he cared whether the husband was alive. Okay, on that note. Hadron Allah Elu Darim Vesikalan Mesechas Adarim. Hadron Allah Daitachalan Mesechas Adarim Vedatachalan. This is Shabay Minach Mesechas Adarim, the Sisha Say Minan, Loba Amadeim, Loba Amadasi. Hadron Allah Mesechas Adarim, Vahabi Halan, Daitachalan Mesechas Adarim, Vedatachalan. This is
At olam, this is kind of be halachah tanacha osach, but shafcha b'tishmor halacha, v'hakikosa he tzichecha. Ki bi yirbu yemecha yosif v'luchash nos chaim, or yachvim b'mineacha yismola osher v'chavod ozom ha'yitin ha'y v'rech ha'samo ba'shalom.
Thank you everyone for coming, and thank you Eli Weber for helping set this up.
I'm gonna make you mine.